I mean, biologically, I knew the answer, okay? I don't know really where to tell you. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures this morning, but want to just kind of let you know where I'm going this morning. The title of what I've got this morning is called How Mothers Reveal the Character of God. And what I want to do this morning is start with this premise. In Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see the biblical account of how this world came into being, which, by the way, is scientifically as well as religiously correct. And one of the things that we find in it is toward the very end of chapter 1, it says that God made man. And it says in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves over the earth. And just want to let you know that actually God created women. It was God's intent that women would exist. And it's something we need to grasp. And it's not just that somewhere along the evolutionary line, you know, the great nothing that made everything. That's always an interesting thought. Just evolution, that nothing comes out of, you know, everything comes out of nothing. And that should tell you right there that is an errant view of our world. But the other problem you have is if we basically came out of nothing and there was no purpose, there was no reason, we were just basically something the primordial slime belched forth over time, and basically we're just a stop along the evolutionary chain, and there's going to be something way better than us, and we will fall into obscurity, and we have no purpose, there's no meaning for life, there's no reason to be here. I teach a course a lot of times to the Monday school kids that go to the homeschool kids that go to a Monday school class, and the class is worldview. And I always tell them, I say, look, when you move away from Christian theism and you move out of Christian theism and the worldview that God made all these things, there is a purpose, there is a reason for existence, and then you begin to move down that worldview ladder where you deny creation, you deny these things, you will eventually move into deism, which is basically there is a God, but he doesn't really communicate with his creatures. And then you move into naturalism, and naturalism was the first part of throwing God out of our world and our society, where we denied that God existed, we denied that God created anything, we denied that basically we are, it's just all natural things that are happening, and evolution was the way the world came into existence. And then the funny thing is that naturalists, if they really follow where their naturalism leads them, it will lead them into what's called nihilism or nihilism. And that nihilism basically takes that naturalist thought that God didn't make the world, there's no reason, there's no purpose behind it. And what the nihilist does is he takes naturalism to its nth degree and says, since there was no reason we were made, and there's no reason we exist, and I can't really go into the worldview catalog extensively this morning, but basically we are just simply part of the mechanism, we're part of the machine that has been doing things in this earth ever since it exploded out of that giant mass of stuff that was in the Big Bang, and actually nobody tells us where that came from, and they just tell us basically matter is eternal, space and time is eternal, and they don't try to even answer that question. But what you're left with is, I have no reason for existence, and I have no reason for meaning anything, I have no purpose. There really is anything that we have that is any meaning or any reason or any purpose has been imposed upon us by others. But if you go back to the real moment where we try to find some kind of meaning or reasoning in life, there isn't any. And so the nihilist basically says, look, you're just a part of the machine. You're a cog in the wheel. Just like any cog in any machine, you're going to wear out and you're going to be thrown to the side. You will not be remembered. There is no purpose for your existence. There will be no purpose for your death. There is nothing after death. So why don't you just go ahead and die? And it's fascinating when you look at all those who in the philosophical realm are nihilists, because they either go insane or they kill themselves. Because there is no purpose, there is no God, there is no reason for existing, there's really nothing that you should do, and even if you do it, you're just a cog in the system, and unless you're actually advancing the evolution of the species, you don't have any purpose anyway. So much better is when we come back to sanity and we come back to a reason for living, but that is going to require, and let me say, it doesn't just require it, I believe it begins with God. I believe when God said He created the heavens and the earth and He spoke them out of nothing, that that is exactly what happened. And the awesome thing about coming back to Christian theism is that there is this God who created this world, there is this God who made everything, and there is this God who has revealed Himself to us. And He has revealed Himself to us in this Word that He gave us, the Scriptures, but He also revealed Himself through the creation that He made, and there are some things that we should learn about them. There are some things that we should know about God. There are some things that we should experience and know are true of God, even in this creation, fallen though it may be. And so coming from the premise, and you need to understand what I'm coming from the premise that God actually created this world exactly as He said. Everything that is in this Word is accurate, just as He says it is, and that God intended for there to be a woman in this mix. He made it that way. It was part of the way that He chose to express Himself when He created this world, and there is something absolutely glorious and marvelous and wonderful about the woman and about femininity that will come through as even a revelation from God to each of us. You see, God never intended for us to fight over femininity or fight over masculinity. They're both gifts. The feminist almost denies her purpose when she decides that she is going to take up the rights of women, she's going to take up the cause of women and fight against men and fight against society to exalt woman. And honestly, when you look at the end of the feminist goal, what she's trying to do is turn a woman into a man. And then in the reverse, as that happens in our society, we're seeing men more feminized. We're seeing more feminine men. Guys don't take the responsibility. Guys don't step up to their state and their place in life. And then you have all these confused roles because we've rejected God and we've rejected what He intended for us when He made them male and female, and when Almighty God established masculinity and femininity. You see, God doesn't want feminists. He also doesn't want masculists. And all a masculist is a man who tries to advance the cause of man at the expense of everything else. It's funny you don't hear of masculists because they just don't exist. I mean, the world tended to be, because of the fall, man tended to dominate in this world, and man took a domineering position over this world. He was to rule over the fish of the sea. He was to rule over the earth as it is, but he was supposed to rule with the female at his side. But because of the fall, all of this has gotten confused. Roles have gotten confused. And as a result, what God meant to be revealed to us through masculinity, and I'll deal with that when it's Father's Day, what I want to talk about this morning is what God wanted to reveal to us through femininity, through a mother, through a wife. Because I don't know if you realize this, ladies, but when you embrace your femininity, and when you embrace it either first as just a lady, just a woman who is in this society, and then if you eventually take on those roles of being a wife, and then even that of being a mother, there are aspects of the character of God that will be expressed through you. It was intended. God meant this. And ladies, you're the only ones who can do it. If you Do not embrace your femininity. If you did embrace the role that God has given you, please hear me. We are losing so much. And we desperately need for you ladies to embrace what God has made you. To embrace who you are. We don't need to talk about men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Because the whole purpose of that is to have Mars and Venus war against each other. On planet Earth, isn't it interesting that they pick the nearest planet on either side? Let me tell you what you'll find in Mars. Red dirt, rock, nothing. You know what you'll find in Venus? Gas, lots of vapor, nothing. Women are not from Venus, men are not from Mars. We're both from Earth. We were created by God. We were created with femininity and masculinity. We were created man and woman. And God meant that as we embrace those roles in the context, in the way that God desires us to express them, we wouldn't be fighting. We wouldn't be saying, boy, I just wish you could be more like a guy. Guys wouldn't be saying that to their girl. I wish you could be more like a guy. No, you don't. You don't want that. You want the glory and the joy, guys, of having a feminine wife. Ladies, you do not want your guy to be more like a girl. I want my husband to just be more like a chick. First of all, you wouldn't say that. I want my husband to be more like a fellow sister. No, you don't. God meant for masculinity and femininity to mutually bless one another. But in order to do that, saints, we have to follow God's plan. We have to follow God's intention. And I will say this because you go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and it says, do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, meaning excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things in the name of God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And be subject to one another in the fear of God. And then it says, wives, love your husbands. Kids, obey your parents. Husbands, love your wives. Guess what? If we're going to be what we're supposed to be in masculinity and femininity and kiddininity, whatever that is, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will not be able to do it in our own flesh and in our own strength. And God, oh, saints, this is going to bless your heart this morning. What did God mean? And let's just jump into it. What did God want to do when He gave us a woman and when He gave us a mom? And how do women and moms reveal the character of God? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We'll start there. God made the whole world, made a man. The man, God breathes life into the man. The man comes to life. God starts walking around the garden. They begin to fellowship, hang out. Eventually God says, hey, why don't we name all the animals? Adam's just like, hey, that's cool. And so they start naming all the animals. And then Adam comes to this incredible conclusion that for every animal that's walked by him, there was this guy animal and there was this girl animal. And he realized he was the guy. And he thought, where is my girl? And God made this amazing statement in Genesis 3:18. And the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him. Do you realize that in all the creation, it's the first time when God said something wasn't good? Because He wasn't finished. Because when it was all done, He said, oh, it's good. It's very good. But you see, for the guy to be without, for it all to be masculinity was not good. God said, we need a serious feminine touch in all this. And so He made what He says is a helper suitable for Him. And how is the character of God revealed in women and in moms? It's revealed by this. God is our help. And God is our helper. And ladies, we desperately need you to bring that aspect of the character of God into our lives. Now, you will never be able to fully express it, but let me say this. You're more gifted to express it than a man is. Listen to what this means. The word helper basically is, and I need to go down to my Greek word study. Where is it? It's a little bit further down. Or actually, it's not even a Greek word study. Okay, let me just kind of move on. The word helper is basically a word that means someone who helps, someone who aids, someone who comes along the side of, and there's a blessing there as they come along the side. In fact, there's a lot of it that meant encouragement, it meant building up, it meant almost cheering on as somebody was doing something. And yet it became such a strength. Now, what's really interesting is the exact same word is used in Psalm 121 of God. When David said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where shall my help come from? My help comes from Jehovah who made heaven and earth. I always get ticked off when I hear feminists begin to just prattle on about how it is such a demeaning thing for a woman to be called a helper. And y'all are going to have to forgive me for a moment. My microphone is not being a helper. There we go. Kind of went halfway down my coat sleeve. That's what I get for wearing a coat in church. Anyway, we'll just leave that alone. Psalm 121, it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen, I do get peeved when people begin saying it's such a demeaning thing for a woman to be called a helper. Then it's a demeaning thing for God to be called our help. It's a demeaning thing for the Holy Spirit, who is called the helper that God will send to us. Because I'm thinking, if anything, when God takes on the name helper and he says he's going to be our help, that should exalt that to the point to where that conversation should be over. Psalm 124:8, it says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 115, 9 through 11, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Over and over and over again, God calls himself our help. It means this, and I found my word study. It's one who helps, aids, or offers assistance. It is important for us to see, though, that in revealing God to us, God is our helper that we need desperately. All these passages where David is crying out to the Lord are times where David seriously needs someone's help. And he's saying, I can't cut it alone. I can't make it alone. I need my help. I need my strength. I need my shield. I need that person. I need God to be my help. And I need God to be my shield. And yet God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper that is suitable for him. Ladies, the woman is to be to the man and the children a reminder of this, that we are not to be alone. In fact, it's not good for us to be alone. Thus, a mother and a wife is a reminder to us of God's help, God's nearness, and the way that God comes to our aid in difficult and problematic situations. I love my dad, but you know what I loved about my mom? I could walk in the door and my mom knew I was having a problem. Now, my dad could eventually catch on to that. And there were some times where I would walk around the house and I would go, and I would just flop into a chair and I'd go, Dad would catch on. And guys, I'm not trying to be mean to us, but you know this. You walk into the house, you get three steps into the house. Mom says, hey, honey. Hey, Mom, what's wrong? What is it with you ladies and your radar? You know it. It's like you know it when we walk in the door. We sit down. We'll even be trying to hide it, which, by the way, heightens your radar times 10. Don't ever hide anything from Mom. She knows. You may think she doesn't know, but she knows. And those of you who have a godly Christian mom, she's praying. So just give it up. Talk to her about it. Ladies, you reveal that part of the character of God to us. He is our help. He is our helper. Listen, God took the name helper as his own name in the person of the Holy Spirit. John 14, write down John 14, 6 through 21 if you're taking notes. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. And you know what, guys? You may think your mom's with you forever, but she's not. says, that is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Then it says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Again, I've got here my notes. Feminism tries to tell women this is a demeaning role, and yet the truth is the role of helper is an absolutely glorious role. It's amazing what God has given you, ladies, not only in the role itself, but in the way that God made you and the glorious things He has allowed you to be able to do. Helper is to be a spirit of truth. Your mama knows the truth, and you are blessed when you have a mama who will speak the truth. Sometimes, you know, dads tend to, and I'm just a dad, I just know this, in my house, wow, somebody called me during church. Okay. That's what I get for having my phone up here as a timer. But I could have acted like that was God, but you guys would have known better, right? Because God doesn't use Verizon. So, and He certainly wouldn't call it an iPhone. But anyway, but the thing is that in our house, they kind of call us, just let me kind of cover this with truth, spirit of truth. Your mom will tell you the truth. When nobody else will tell you the truth, your mom will tell you the truth. You know, when your mom looks at you and goes, are you going to wear that today? Your mom's actually telling you the truth. You know, pull your pants up, okay? Don't look like that. Ladies, when your mom kind of goes, are you going to wear that today? A lot of times she's saying your modesty's slipping. And if you want to attract the right kind of guy, you might want to dress to attract the right kind of guy. Because when a woman dresses immodestly, she'll have a tendency to attract the wrong kind of guy. And it's amazing how moms will tell us the truth. And sometimes they'll tell us the truth when we don't want to know the truth. Listen, the helper was tender. I love this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the helper, He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And there's something about it that a mom just loves her kids. It is a marvelous picture of what a mom is to her children and to her husband. It's God's promise that He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. We hear the phrase, the love of a mother. And it basically means this. The last one who will stop loving you is your mom. Everybody else will have bought out and will have left way earlier. Mom's going to stick with you to the bitter end. She's going to love with you. She's not going to leave you. As the orphan, she will come to you. She will be there. And ladies, that's what you are to us. Helper, in you there is a picture of God's Spirit reminding us of the important things, telling us the truth. John 16, He is there to teach us and remind us what Jesus said. How many of you hear your mother's voice inside your head? You know, you're doing something. Maybe something you're not supposed to do, or you're about ready to do something, and then all of a sudden, mom's voice comes into your head. Let me say this. That's usually a very good thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing if mom's not exactly walking in the Spirit. But a lot of times, those things that I remember are things that my mom kind of said. You know what I hear a lot in my head? I'm about, you know, somebody asked me something, and I'm not about to give a really good report on it. And I hear my mom say, let's see if you can quote it with me. If you can't say something good, then don't say anything at all. That has kept me from sticking my foot, not just in my mouth, but into my stomach. I mean, just all the way down my throat into my stomach. And there's something about it, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is there to remind us of what Jesus said. I'm just telling y'all, when you have a godly mama, mom is there to remind you of what Jesus said. Mom's there to remind you of what is right, what is good, what is proper, what you should do. You know, I heard the phrase, Johnny, Johnny, strong and able, take your elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable, this is but a human table. Mom taught me manners. may not have learned them really well, but Mom taught me manners. I hear her when I'm being a slob or when I'm about to do something at a table that might offend somebody. My mom told me not to smack my food because she said people are really not interested in hearing you eat like they would hear a horse or a cow eat in a barn. And I remember that. And I think about others when I'm at a place where I probably should think about others rather than myself. So ladies, you're there to reveal that God is our help and God is also our helper. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 2. That's where we're going to be a little bit for some more of these things about Mom. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul is talking about the way that God led them to love the Thessalonians. And he made this statement, it's 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. He said this, "But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." You know what you are to us, ladies? You're a picture of God's gentleness. It says there, "But we proved to be gentle among you." The word gentle is the Greek word epios, means mild, it means gentle. It speaks of a great gentleness. Paul is speaking of one who might have used authority or an authoritarian measure, but who instead uses a gentleness and a mildness instead to assure the Thessalonians not only of their love, but of God's love, and to remind the Thessalonians of the gospel that it is not our works that bring us to God. It is not our works by which we are approved by God, but it is sheer, unadulterated grace. Your mama shows you gentleness to help you understand grace. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Does Mom always give you what you deserve? No, a lot of times your mother's very gentle with you. And it's a beautiful thing because she's teaching you about the grace of God. God reveals His gentleness through a mother. As she is gentle with her children, loving them without a harshness, too often we don't realize that God's the exact same way. We tend to make out, and I tend to do this, we tend to make God kind of be harsh. But the fact of the matter is, God loves us. He's gentle with us. If you understood what God should do the first time you sin, what His holiness would demand that He do the first time you sin, you would be aware of God's gentle mercies. Scriptures tell us that those gentle mercies are renewed every morning as we wake up. Do you realize how many times you sin in a day and how many times God's justice does not exact the full price of it from you in that moment? You see, ladies, you are a picture to us of the gentleness of God. It says that it is gentle like a nursing mother. It's just that gentleness and lovingness. I've watched my wife care for our children during that phase of their life, and there is just this glorious gentleness and love and tenderness that is a part of that. It goes on to tell us, you not only reveal God's gentleness, you reveal God's tenderness. It says, "We prove to be gentle to you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." That word tender is the word thaupo. It means to warm or to soften. The picture in this word is of a bird who extends her wings over her chicks and covers them and gathers them to her for protection and also to warm them and also to be tender and to cherish them. The word meant to tenderly cherish someone. There is a love that is tender and that absolutely cherishes that one who is cared for. Ladies, you cherish your kids. It's an awesome thing to watch it. Mama's there cheering for you every step of the way, isn't she? And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. And it's a reminder that our moms love us with that glorious tenderness of God. Now you need to know this. Mom's revealing that to you so that you would understand better the character of God who tenderly loves you. The same word is used in Ephesians 5:29 when it talks about the father or the husband nourishing and cherishing his wife even as he would his own flesh. And God wants to nourish us and He wants to cherish us. And oh, ladies, you gently warm us with your love. You are, when it rains, I mean, one of the reasons that a chicken does that with her chicks is it begins to rain, and that rain, when it hits the chick, could actually give it basically the equivalent of a concussion. Because I don't know if you know this, chicks are tiny. They're short. They're little. Start whacking their head, they'll get knocked over. You can knock them out, they'll start to drown, especially if it's a heavy rain. And that mama, with no thought to her own safety, will gather those chicks underneath her wings and will bring them to herself, not only to protect them from the rain, but to warm them and to keep them safe. Guys, when's the last time that you seriously thought about Almighty God in that way? That Almighty God is there. And He's not there in your difficult times to go, yeah, let's see how well you do this time, Bubba. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to reach out with His wings and cult and bring us in and to cherish us and to love us. And if there is a difficult lesson that we need to learn, God's not doing it because He hates us. He's doing it because He loves us. He cherishes us and He wants us to learn those things. Listen, it's the toughest thing in the world. When dad begins to teach a child how to swim, and in fact, I was a swimming instructor when I was in high school, and it was hard. In fact, I used to say, let the dads come in, but don't let the mamas come in when I'm working with them, because I got the little 4- and 5-year-olds. First time they had ever been in the water. And there came a point where I just had to take them, and I had to pull them to me in the water, and man, they were terrified. And listen, I got my share of scratch marks on me. Where they just dug in to they thought they were going to die. And it was hard for those mothers to let that happen. And that is that picture of the mother knowing. And by the way, the moms would let it happen because they knew it was best for their child that they learned how to swim. But it still wasn't easy for them. And you need to know this, guys. Yes, God lets you go through hard things, but it's difficult. The heart of God is like that heart of a mother. He's manifesting Himself through that mother. And you need to know, God's not sitting on the sidelines going, I knew He wouldn't make it. Blew it again. And sometimes that's the mindset we get toward God. You need to know that God is like that mom. This is best for Him. But it's hard. And God loves us like that when we're going through our difficult times. You're a picture of God's help. You're a picture of God's gentleness. You're a picture of God's tenderness. This is an amazing one. You're a picture of God's affection. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And it says, having so fond an affection for you. In other words, what Paul is doing is this refers right back to the previous verse when it's talking about the mom. And he says, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you have become very dear to us. Listen, what is God's affection? I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's homeiramai, that's it. And it's to have a fond affection for, to desire someone's presence and someone's, just to be with someone and you desire it earnestly. Listen to the places where the same word is found. Describing God. By the way, this is basically what a mom does. Mom wants to be around her kids. Now, I understand there's some times, ladies, where you want to turn in your mommy button and get away for a little bit. And there's some times where you need some just mommy time to just kind of recharge and get back to normal. But I know moms want to be around that baby. Moms want to be around the kid. Listen, it was hard for me to get Sherry to let us have a babysitter. It was hard. She wanted to be with those kids. And it's hard right now. I mean, she's basically said in several different contexts that she's being fired from the only job she ever wanted slowly as each kid reaches that age where it's time for them to leave home. And she just kind of looks at it all and she's just kind of like, man, what, you know, I'm hating this fact that I'm being successful, but at the same time I'm being fired one after another as they leave. She wants to be with her kids. We love being around our kids. We enjoy being around our kids. And that's what this is speaking of. Our mothers are pleased to be with us. They have a great, fond affection for us. You know, when the kid scores the touchdown, what does he say? Hi, Mom. You know, and they see them on the sideline. It's "Hi, Mom." Nowadays, they're kissing their fingers and doing all this weird stuff. But I used to love it when it was just "Hi, Mom," you know. A lot more tender than whatever that means, you know, when they do all that stuff. James 4:5 says the Spirit's desire for us is this, that the Spirit, God jealously desires the Spirit He made to dwell in us. It's the same word used there as the word used here. It means a fond affection. God, and this is going to sound wild, but guys, once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the grace of God, God loves hanging out with you. I don't know how to express that any differently. He has a fond affection for your presence and His presence. Now, He's ever present, so you're always present with Him. But sometimes you're not, you know what I mean? He's there, He's ever present. Your problem is you're rarely present, you know? That's our problem sometimes spiritually. We don't realize that God's with us. Something I've begun to confess to God more often is, God, I can go 2-3 hours a day and not actually think a thought about the Lord. And I'm trying to remedy that right now. I'm trying to say, God, keep me ever near You. Keep me always in Your sight. Let me know that You're here. Let me know that You're with me. And in everything I do, may I do it as unto You, and may I do it in Your presence, knowing that I'm doing it even for You. And it's a difficult thing, but, you know, my namesake, Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, which, by the way, we're not related, but that's what he basically began to try to build into his life, was this whole thought of God's continual presence with him. And I love in that book, he says something to the likes of which, I get the same enjoyment of washing dishes as I do out of 3 hours of prayer. Because I'm in God's presence and I'm doing them both as unto Him. Now, here's the thing. God loves having you with Him. He enjoys it. He has a fond desire to have you around. How many of us live with this thought, well, God actually accepted me in Jesus, but He doesn't really like hanging around much. I'm not that great of a Christian. Or maybe you're trying to be a good Christian and you think you're not quite getting there, and you just have this thought of, well, you know, because of Jesus, God just kind of tolerates the fact that He has to keep me around. God loves me because of the Jesus thing, because He has to. That's not what this tells me. And it's not what He had you ladies be for us. As a living example, Scripture tells me He has a fond affection of us. Listen to these Scriptures. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Your Father loves giving you the kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 3:1, therefore, when we could not endure it any longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And Paul was talking about how they longed and loved to be with the disciples. And when that phrase, when we couldn't endure it any longer, that's the same word. The same root word is used over here to speak of God's affection for us. God can't stand it. And I'm not trying to express a sense that God has this need and He's not complete. God's complete. He doesn't need anything. But He chooses to say, I love having you around. I enjoy having you around. There is within me this earnest desire to have you with me. Remember what Jesus told the disciples about death? That where I am, there you may be also. God longs for it. What does God say about death? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His holy ones. Do you realize that when a Christian dies, I know we grieve, but God rejoices. And God grieves with us because Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. But when we die and we go to be with the Lord's like, yes! Woo-hoo! I got another one that will be with me forever. No more sin. No more shame, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more struggle. They will be with me. They will be redeemed from sin, absolutely. And they get to be with me forever. And God's like, I'm seriously stoked about that. Is that your God? Well, I want you to know, college students especially, when you come home, and Mom doesn't care that you have a mountain of laundry equal to or greater than Everest. Mom's just thrilled you're walking through the door. That spirit, feel that spirit the next time you start your quiet time. Feel it. That's part of the reason God gave you your mom. So that you could get that sense of how stoked God is to meet with you. Even though he knows your need to meet with him is infinitely greater, couldn't even be measured. He doesn't need you to meet with him, and yet he loves it. Absolutely loves it. Two things, and we'll close. God's comfort. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13, just write that down. It says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you will be nursed. You will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." God said, if you want to understand the way that I want to comfort you, and by the way, this is such an awesome verse because it's actually talking about how horrible Israel's failure were. Okay, all their failures. It was how horrible all of their failures were. Israel had failed. She had failed to the point where God had to bring judgment. But now we're over in the part of Isaiah where God's trying to comfort them. And in one of the ways that God tries to comfort them, God says, the comfort with which I want to comfort you is just like that you'd get from mom. And it says, just like mom loved to nurse you and to carry you on the hip, my wife spent, I don't know how many years. I mean, we had six kids. So you figure they're between 2 and 3. So I'm figuring 12 years with a short person attached to her hip. Like this. To the point to where Ziegler has to make her go like this sometimes because her body naturally wants to go like this. She loved carrying them on her hips. She loved having them on her knees and bouncing them on her knees and singing to them and talking to them and loving them and comforting them. And then invariably when my kids would get hurt, far more with Josiah than the rest of them, but when my children would get hurt, she would take them on her knees and she would comfort them and she would hold them when they cried. She would hold them until they stopped crying and then she would kiss away their tears. Saints, please don't miss this. You and I can be such screw-ups, right? We can blow it. And since we're fallen, we can blow it like no one else. Your God, when He brings that comfort to you, not when you've been a good boy or a good girl, but when you are Mr. and Mrs. I've blown it, He wants to take you on His knees and He wants to love you. And He even wants to kiss away the tears. Just like your mom. And ladies, please, don't listen to the lies of our world that tells you you should be more like a guy. Balderdash and poppycock. They're wrong! Dead wrong! Because there are aspects of the nature of God that God wanted to express to us in the most glorious formative years of our lives, and He chose to do it, and He wills to do it in generation after generation after generation through mom. And there are lessons that as I started to speak them, you knew them in your heart. And you remember what it's like for mom to pick you up and put you on her knees and to hug you and to tell you it's going to be okay. And to wipe away and to kiss away the tears and to let you know it's going to be all right. And you need to know that the God who made women and the God who made your mom loves you just like that mom. In fact, and ladies, I mean this as no insult to you, he loves you infinitely more than she does. In all those ways, your help, your strength, your comfort, he loves you with tenderness. He loves you with gentleness. He loves you with a fond affection. And he loves you in those moments with comfort when you've blown it and you think, God can't love me. God can't accept me. Look at what a mess I've made. Look at my life. Look at who I am. Look at what I just said. Look at what I just did. You need to know he loves you just like your mom would love you in those circumstances. And ladies, oh, ladies, know this. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. Okay? You know that verse, right? I want you to know this. Mamas and wives are declaring the character of God. Keep it up, ladies. You're teaching us awesome lessons. You're revealing a God that we will know so much better as we grow older and can read of these things in the Scriptures, but you are imprinting lessons in our hearts. Where those little hands kind of make those impressions in that clay, you need to know this. Your hands are making impressions upon the heart of your child. And honestly, the heart of your husband as well. Oh, ladies, you're doing an awesome job. Keep showing us God. Keep showing us Jesus. Embrace your femininity. Reject the whole feminist agenda. And put yourselves in the arms of a loving God. And be what God meant for you to be. And be the very character that God meant for you to carry. And be the love that he meant for you to manifest. And do it for his glory, his honor, and his praise. And what you do over and over and over and over, and you know it, I could keep going for a while, couldn't I? And over again. You need to know those lessons are forming that little heart to one day know God. So you work with permanent materials. Do a job that will glorify God in it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our moms. Thank you that the whole idea of mom is your idea. The whole idea of wife is your idea. The whole idea of woman is your idea. The whole idea of femininity and the way that you made the precious ladies that you have made and you have knit together in the womb of every mother after Eve came into being. God, it's your idea. And oh God, may we as the church realize what we gain when we encourage femininity and the role of woman in the lives of the precious women that you give us. Oh God, and may afresh and anew the ladies who are here, the women who are here, the ones who bear the feminine imprint that you put upon them. And God, the ones that you desire, Lord, as you move and you work to one day possibly even take that role of wife and mother, oh, let them know the importance. Let them know that, God, what you want to show of yourself through them is glorious. And when the world denigrates who they are and what they are to embrace in Christ and through your word, God, may they realize that all Satan has ever wanted to do is mar the image and the revelation of God in humanity. And may they ignore those words and may they press on in their role and in their position and in their glorious ministry of molding little hearts that will one day remember how mom revealed God to them, and they will want to know this God. Father, we love you. And we bless you. Thanks for our moms. Glorify your great name through them. And Lord, again, thank you for not just their sacrifice, but Lord, the thousands and tens of thousands of pictures and memories that we hold dear that simply reveal your character to us. Thank you, God. You're so incredibly smart. And God, might I add this morning, you're really cool in the things you do and the ways you do them. Thanks for my mom, Lord. Thanks for her voice in my head. Thank you for every sacrifice she made. God, when I look at my precious wife, I wish I'd have been half the dad that she was the mom. Thank you for that gift you gave me and the gift you gave my kids. And it's really okay that she's going to spoil the living daylights out of our granddaughter when she gets here. I look forward to it, God. Lord, bless us as very blessed people because we've got moms. Everyone in this room's got one. And Lord, I know that Lord, since we are a church that has a ministry and an orphan ministry, Lord, I know there are some kids that have kind of been robbed. And there may have been some kids, Lord, that their moms weren't exactly the example they should be, Lord. Then I would ask you by your Spirit, reach deep inside of them, and God, remind them of your own character. Love them through others. And God, through the folks that are fostering these children, bless the ladies, bless the moms and the wives who have taken to them these children. And let these children get a great picture through them. Thank you for those who have adopted kids in this fellowship, Lord. May those moms be a glorious picture to those kids of what a mom really is. Again, God, thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace in giving us these precious, precious ladies. Lord, we ask all this and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me encourage you that if you've got a mom that's still alive, call her.